Let's turn together to God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bibles or on your smartphone or whatever, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 to 11. There's a few chapters here in which Paul gives some very detailed teaching on the area of spiritual gifts, but we're just going to focus on first 11 verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and reading from verse 1, this is the word of God. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And may God add His blessing to His word today. So we're looking at what it means to live life in the Spirit. Last week we saw that the Holy Spirit is firstly the Spirit of change. He changes things. He changes people. He initiates a fundamental change in the direction of our lives, in the priorities of our lives. Where before we were maybe not that concerned about not only living in the world, but living of the world and living according to the world's ways of thinking. Now we think differently. We're eager to know, what does God think about this? What does God's word say on this issue? We're eager to be led by the Spirit. We're eager to please God. We're eager to have an increasing appreciation of what it means to be a child of God, born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. You are born again. Everything changes as you come to know Jesus, as you start to live in the Spirit of Jesus. Indeed, we see this emphasis in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul reminds the Corinthians in verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. You were led to worship the ways of the world and the gods that are not real and living. But then God's Spirit worked upon you. He says, when God's Spirit is in you, He says, you no longer say, Jesus be cursed, or Jesus is irrelevant, or Jesus isn't a matter of concern. No, rather by His Spirit you say, Jesus is Lord in my life. And that's by the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of change. And that was the experience of the believers in the church in Corinth in AD 50. And it is exactly the same experience. It's the same Spirit who works to change us in AD 2021 in Ballymena. Exactly the same Spirit. The Spirit is still doing His work of converting and saving and changing. But this week we want to see, as Paul says here, that another major role of the Holy Spirit is to give gifts. He changes us, but then He gifts us with a gift. Theologians talk about the general working of the Spirit in the world under the title common grace. God, in his common grace, is at work generally in the world. Simon Ponsonby describes it very well. He says, God provides for human needs and everything required to sustain life through the provision of food and water through the animal and natural world. He is the inspiration by his Spirit behind social structures which hold back anarchy and evil. He inspires laws to protect and maintain stability. He provides aesthetic inspiration to beautify the world. He restrains the satanic powers of evil, not allowing them to totally dominate or exterminate. This is the gracious work in the world of God's sustaining and preserving Spirit. But over and above that common grace, as God works in the world, and we should continue to be thankful for that work, and we should point others to that work and encourage them to see it. But over and above that work, today we're speaking, as Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 12, about his supernatural work. Above his common grace work, he works in his church. He gives supernatural giftings. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14 has a substantial block of teaching about gifts. The Corinthian church was interested in gifts. In fact, they seemed to be manifesting and displaying the gifts of the Spirit more than the other churches. And they were asking for some guidance and leadership from Paul, which he was happy to give. And Paul was happy to say that, yes, we are changed by the Holy Spirit, but also we are gifted by the Holy Spirit. In my experience, while virtually all Christians believe that you are changed by the Spirit, there's a whole heap of different opinions and debate and discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many are there? What are the particular gifts for today? And so on and so forth. And there's a lot of controversy, even sometimes, on that particular issue. Now, I've spoken many times on the gifts of the Spirit, but suffice to say that in my opinion and perspective, if the Spirit in AD 50 in Corinth is exactly the same Holy Spirit in AD 2021 in Ballymena, then surely the same gifts and giftings of the Spirit are available. But it is up to him what gifts he gives. That is his role, as we'll see in a moment. The other major issue over the gifts is that many Christians are unaware of what their gifting is. Some have no concern in this area at all. They have no interest in it, which I think is sad, because the Bible does teach that whenever the Spirit comes into our lives, he wants to give us a gift. Keith, at the beginning of his series in 2 Peter, said that everything we need is in Christ. At the beginning of this service, Jill led us to Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need in him. And so it is with the gifts. Everything is here. The question is, will that latent potential become real potential? Will we say, yes, this is true for me today? Life in the Spirit means that I am gifted in the Spirit. What is that Spirit that God has for me? And so, sadly, if we do not take this teaching seriously, I do not believe as churches that we move into the maximum effectiveness of ministry. It means that we are less than what we could be. Sometimes people will say, look, the ministry is for the paid staff or the clergy. But I would point them to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, which has always been a key passage for us here in Highkirk, where Paul says that God has put in place apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but their role is to equip the people, the body, the church, for the works of ministry. So the main work of ministry is actually being done by the people, by the body. Those who are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are equipping the body. And then in Ephesians 4 and 12 and following, Paul says there are massive benefits when this happens. When we take this seriously, he says the body of Christ is built up. We reach unity in the faith. We grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. We become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're no longer infants. We are not easily misled. We speak the truth in love to one another. We grow up into Christ our head. So whenever the body is being equipped, all these benefits start to happen in the church. What I want to do today is, in a more general way, is to look at the four general teaching points of Scripture on gifts. And I believe that if we follow these through, then we will discover our gifts and manifest these gifts for God's glory. So the first teaching point is this: the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes gifts. Elsewhere, Paul encourages the church to seek gifts, to ask for gifts, to long for gifts. But ultimately, he says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. He is the source of the gifts. And in verse 11, he says, all the gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So Paul encourages us to pray, say, you know, Lord, show me what gift you have for me. But ultimately, there's a humility there of saying, Lord, you're sovereign, and it's your Spirit who decides what is the best gift for me to exercise in this church. He is the one who ultimately distributes according to his plans. He sees the big picture. And then the second major and main teaching point in all of this is that, according to verse 7, the gifts are bespoke to us. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. It is shaped for you. Used to be years ago, sometimes men would have gone to a tailor for a bespoke suit. They were expensive, but they were kind of tailored for your shape, and whatever shape that was. And it looked well on you. Today, probably the only kind of bespoke fitting that is done is for a bride as she's getting her wedding dress. And it's kind of bespoke. It's for her, and it's designed in such a way. It's, you know, brought in here, widened there, whatever. It's a bespoke dress for a very special day. And the Holy Spirit has a gift for you in this fellowship that is bespoke for you, that is shaped for you. And it will bless, well, not only bless you, but it will, more importantly, bless others. Eric Ries says, when we serve in areas that best match our giftedness, we experience greater fulfillment and we see greater fruitfulness for God. On the other hand, when we serve outside our giftedness, we usually end up frustrated and fatigued. So in the realm of spiritual gifting, we trust God that he knows what he's doing. Now, there are four traps to avoid in this whole area of the shape of a gift for us. The first trap to avoid is comparison. Later on in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, don't say, well, I am a foot, but I would rather be an eye. Don't compare. Just accept what God has given to you and rejoice in that. Possibly my favorite quotation from Oscar Wilde is, be yourself, everyone else is taken. And that sort of applies here. You know, receive the gift for you. Don't compare it with others. Don't wish for something else. Just accept what he has given for you. So avoid the trap of comparison. Secondly, avoid the trap of projection. Don't wish that other people had the gift that you had, and if other people had the gift that you had, well, this church would be sorted out. No, we are each unique. We need to accept that. We need to accept that other people will have gifts that complement yours, and your gift will complement theirs. If everyone has the same gift, or if too many people have the same gift, well, then the church is lopsided. No, God knows what he's doing. So avoid the trap of comparison, avoid the trap of projection. Rejoice in the diversity of the church. Avoid the trap, thirdly, of rejection. I've already mentioned this, that sometimes people just say, look, I don't have a gift. What me, a gift? But if you believe in Scripture, if you believe that whenever you give your life to Christ, then the Bible teaches that the Spirit will come into your life and He will gift you with a gift to serve the church. Avoid the trap of comparison, of projection, of rejection, and finally of deception. Sometimes we can deceive ourselves. Maybe we are exercising a gift and we think, you know, this is God's gift for us, but actually it's not really blessing others, and there needs to be a conversation. And you maybe need to realize that this gift that you maybe have sought after, but actually that's not the gift of the Spirit for you. There's another gift that will bless the church more, and you need to ask for guidance, because we can all be deceived in sometimes thinking it is a gift, and it's not actually a gift. So the Holy Spirit is the source. He is the one who distributes the gifts for the benefits of the church. The gifts are bespoke to us. They're our shape. We will flourish in them. We will enjoy them. They're nothing to be feared. And then thirdly, the gifts are for the building up of the church body today. Paul says, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The gift will bring fulfillment to you, yes, but it will mainly bless and serve others. It edifies or builds up the church. The focus is on others. It is for the wider blessing of God's community. No one has all the gifts. There is diversity. We are meant to complement each other. As I said, Paul says, is everyone a foot? Is everyone an eye? No, each has a role to play. It may be an upfront gift, a speaking gift. It may be a behind-the-scenes gift. Each has their role. Earlier in the summer, I reminded us that we are to be a church following the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do this through four words: love, learn, serve, and reach. And today, I suppose, we're emphasizing the serve part of that. We are called to serve one another if you are a Christian. And we can do that in various ways. We can do it through our spiritual gift, but you know, even aside from our spiritual gifting, we're just called to service. We're just called to be generally helpful. And so in a church this size, there's always something for people to do. Whatever size of church, there's always something for people to do. One of the things the church suite system does, it obviously it helps to invite people to church. It has our email and address on it, pretty much, that's all. But there is another little section which indicates if you're on a rota, if you're on a serving rota, or on a ministry rota. And I think it's quite sad sometimes when I'm looking in for people's addresses and so on, and I look across the columns and I see, you know, under serving rota, they're not on any serving rota. They're not on any ministry rota. And I'm thinking, why? Why not? It doesn't take a spiritual special gift to stack chairs or to be on car park duty. It doesn't take a special spiritual gift to make tea and coffee, not that I'm aware. It's just general helpfulness. And so there's that general helpfulness in the church. You should be on some kind of rota. Now, I know I appreciate there are people who are housebound, people who can't come out to church, who can't come out during the week to help serve in any capacity. I appreciate that. But if you can, if you are healthy in that respect, you should be a helpful servant of the body. That's just a general helpfulness, to offer yourself for whatever the church needs. But then in the next level, which is what Paul is speaking about here, is the giftedness that the Holy Spirit gives. And sometimes that giftedness becomes apparent even through those basic serving things that you've done. Perhaps someone who's, you know, doing car park duty or doing ushering, they find actually they're really enjoying it and people enjoy them doing it. And actually, it's actually maybe a gift of hospitality. It actually is a spiritual gift, and they have discovered this through the more general helping of people. They have an ability, they have an affinity, they have an opportunity, and they find their sweet spot of gifting. But we need to get involved. We need to make ourselves available. I hinted earlier in the summer again that you know, the elders are taking the view that we can't keep using and overusing and burning out the same people. Sometimes we need to say to someone, look, you're involved in three or four different ministries in a week. You just need to pull back. We need to get others to step up and to take the heavy lifting. But as we look around for those others, and especially the next generation that is coming, we've got to say, it's time for you to step up. This is your church as well. It's time to get your feet dirty or your hands dirty. We need to spread the load. This past year has been a very difficult year, as we all know in different respects. I call it the great disruption. The pandemic and COVID has just disrupted everything. But I also call it the great deception. Because as I've spoken to other church leaders, it is becoming apparent that over this past year, some people have taken the view that they are getting the goods of church and giving the goods of church simply by watching on a screen. That they don't need to come to church. They don't need to get involved in person. And that's a sad lie, because actually the goods of church are as you partly serve the body, as you help to equip and edify and build up the body. And we do that usually as we meet together. It can be done, in a sense online and so on, but it has its limitations. But as I'm speaking to my colleagues in ministry, I'm hearing, you know, across the denominations, I'm hearing it's getting harder and harder to get people to come back. Yes, even setting aside those who have underlying health conditions and so on. There's this deception that the goods of church are available by just listening to a podcast or listening online. And sadly, a day is coming where the church is going to recognize that we're maybe not going to be as effective as before the pandemic, because people are just not showing up. They're not seeking to serve the body. And that's tremendously sad. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit who distributes gifts. He has a gift for you. He wants you to use that gift in serving others. It is shaped for you. It is bespoke to you. You will enjoy using it. You will enjoy blessing others with that gift. The gifts are for the building up of the church family. And fourthly, finally and briefly, when we live in the Spirit, it leads to an openness to gifting. We were singing earlier about God blessing us by His Spirit in the atmosphere. And there's a way in which we can encourage ourselves to live in the Spirit, in the atmosphere of the Spirit. It's by immersing ourselves in teaching like this. It's in immersing ourselves in God's Word and meeting together for worship. And taking the opportunities to serve others. Placing yourself in a place where you are serving. And then as you do that, through time, God maybe reveals, you know, what you're good at, what you're not good at, and so on. But the sovereign is Spirit. The Spirit is sovereign in all of this. He may give a person even a gift for a season and then withdraw it and then give a different gift. He may sometimes give someone a particular gift of healing for a particular individual in a kind of a one-off thing, but actually that's it. He doesn't actually keep going with that. God is sovereign in how He uses His gifts. The point is that we are open, that we are available in faith to be used. And if we have a gift that God is especially using, perhaps that gift will become a ministry, maybe even a full-time ministry, maybe even a paid ministry. These are all aspects of God's gifting to us. But we want to have that spirit of openness, that spirit of expectancy. Hopefully in the autumn, I might do one or two evening talks on the different gifts and kind of drill down a little bit more specifically as to what it looks like and how we can seek after particular gifts. I can maybe do a bit of more specific teaching on that. But for today, I think this is enough for us to have that openness, that expectancy, that soft servant heart to say, Lord, what's the gift you have for me? For some of us, we actually may be working in that gifting, we just don't realize it. Maybe we need someone to come alongside us and say, well, actually, that's your spiritual gift. Did you not realize it? It's staring you in the face. And sometimes we need other people to point it out to us. But for those of us who are maybe struggling, and maybe even those who have no interest in this area, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, asking the Holy Spirit, as we respond to him, to maybe make clear to us over the days and weeks ahead as to where your gifting lies for the blessing of the church. So can we just pray together? Sometimes people find it helpful just in opening their hands as we pray. It is this attitude of, Lord, I'm in receptive mode. I want to receive what you have for me. If you find that helpful, you can do that. But let us pray. Lord, I pray for those, first of all, who don't know what their gifting is. I pray, Lord, that they would be open in these days to pray to you specifically, to ask, to discern, to take opportunities, to exercise, and in so doing, maybe discover their gifting. Lord, that we would ask that you would be pleased to confirm the presence of this gift through some prophetic revelation to them, a word of knowledge, a dream, a vision, a word of encouragement for someone else, that over the days ahead, that will become very apparent and very real to someone. We pray for those, Lord, who are serving you in giftedness, who are serving you with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they don't realize it. And we pray, Lord, you would bring someone alongside them and show them and confirm to them that they are moving in your gifting. They are being useful in the kingdom of God, and they are blessing and edifying the church. May they be encouraged as this is shown to them. For all of us, O God, help us to have that attitude of openness to what you have for us, even a change of gift for a different season. We thank you, Lord, that you're a gracious, generous spirit who wants the best for us. Come and glorify your name through us, we pray. Amen.